We are joined by attorney Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. And Jeff, you had an interesting weekend. You started it Friday night at the Mall of America, where you went to the Miracle at the Met Fest. What was it? A festival, a feat, a reunion? Well, you know, what was it?
It was really cool. That was billed as a reunion of kind of the principles involved with the famous Miracle at the Met play, which is the game in 1980 against Cleveland when Tommy Kramer hit Ahmad Rashad with the Hail Mary to win the division. And so the featured guests were Tommy and Ahmad and Bud Grant, and they were up on the dais sharing stories, and Jeff Passolt was the MC and did a really good job. Actually, it's a pretty funny stories of his own from his days as a parking lot attendant out at Met Stadium.
Oh,
he was in high school. But then, they had a number of other Vikings in attendance. So Ted Brown, who was involved with the play before the Hail Mary, he was there. There were Scott Studwell, a couple of other guys, Terry LeCount, Sammy White. You know, those are the two receivers that were right in Ahmad's vicinity. Any one of those three could have caught that ball. That was the design play. And then they had a number of kind of Vikings legends of that for the guys of my era that would have liked seeing. So I was at a table with Carl Lee and Joey Browner. There was a lot of different. Chuck was there. Chuck Foreman. Yep. Carl Eller was there. Nate Wright was there. Paul Krause, Stu Voigt. You know, there's just a number of guys from the 70s and 80s there, and they did a little, they played the clips from the game, and they did a little in memoriam for the players and coaches that were no longer with us from that team. And of course, Bernsey took center stage, and, you know, your favorite coach and his favorite press conference of his.
They played that?
Brought the house down uncensored. And I'm sitting at the table with two of his players who are almost in tears laughing so hard about when they got to the part about Anderson, and it was a dumb effing play by Anderson. The room, everybody just lost it. It was just hilarious.
Now, did they play the clip long enough to hear my question?
Yes, they did.
Well, you won this game, didn't you? I think so.
Yeah, no, they played it all the way to the end when he walks up and goes, effers.
You know what's great about it? Like, 'cause some of these guys have the tirade, and either nobody asks a question or he goes after the media. He never really went after the media. That was against the fans.
Mm-hmm.
He was so upset about that. That's great. That's great stuff.
The funny thing about, if you remember that from that press conference, Bob, if you remember the play during that game, remember there was a Hail Mary pass to Hassan Jones. And I think in that press conference, he says it's the same play that was the Cleveland play, Squadron Right. I think it was the same play, but they flipped it to the other side of the field.
See, I don't remember that. Now, what I do remember, and I watched it again, the Ahmad catch, he was so nonchalant about it. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? He just reached out mm-hmm. his hand, pulled it in, and the game's over. He was the epitome of cool when he made that catch.
Yeah, it's interesting as he figured that because, you know, he was going to, both the previous play, he thought it was coming to him, and he's down the field and he hears the cheering, and he figured Tommy had let the ball out, and he turned around to look to see where it was coming, and it wasn't there, and that was the hook and ladder play that Joe Sensor caught the ball and bounced it to Ted Brown like a volleyball, and Ted Brown took it to the Cleveland 47 to set up the final play.
Yeah. Now, was Sensor able to go? Was he there?
He was not. No, he was not. I know that Tommy's talked to him recently. I think he's doing better from he had two pretty serious strokes.
Yep.
So, but no, he was not there. But for me, it was kind of a thrill. I had not ever met Terry LeCount, and it's great because you get a chance for some autographs and stuff, and I have an old poster from, I think, the year after that season that I've had a lot of the guys sign it, and he just signs LeCount.
You know what I remember about
LeCount
wasn't around very long. I came in 1984 to cover the team. He certainly was on that team. He might have been on the 85 team, too, when Bud came back. But he was the epitome of swagger and strut. He didn't really have the – now, he did what a guy like Justin Jefferson could do or get away with, where he'd strut around and, you know, just have that swagger mm-hmm. of how great he was. And he had a great name, no question. He was a decent guy. Now, I don't want to, you know, misinterpret that, but he was like a very, very cool, I guess he was a cool cat.
Yeah, before the era, before there was, you know, the three deep in the 90s, you had, in the early 80s, you had Ahmad Rashad, Sammy White, and Terry Lacount.
Yeah, and when I covered the team, Ahmad had already retired, and Sammy was mm-hmm. there, and obviously Lacount was there. And I'm trying to remember. I think they had a young receiver. I don't. It's been so many years ago. I do remember the running backs were Alfred Anderson and Allen Rice. They were, they're the running backs that got a lot of the playing time. And it was that 84 team was fun. But we're not talking about the 84 team. We're talking about the 80 team. And now let's talk a moment or two about the 2022 team. And this, this is sort of my theme today. Yes, fun. Yes, exciting. But it never should have happened. I mean, no good
right.
team falls behind 33-0. And
right.
the perspective is, too, and people have lost it. They played the Colts, who gave up 33 fourth quarter points in their previous game to the Cowboys. So
yeah,
55
yeah.
points in two games.
You know, it's funny. During the game, I jumped the gun. I'm one of those that gave up at halftime, and I was demanding apologies
who
from those the week before that criticized my take that they might lose the division. So I had to take that post down by the end of the game. I've saved it. I've saved a screenshot of it for posterity. But, it's funny, going back to the Friday event with the guys, Bud mentions that, he said footballs are not round like baseballs or basketballs and soccer balls, and you can't control the bounce, and a lot of it is luck. And that first half, it seemed, after that blocked punt, everything seemed to go off the rails, for a while there. But I did like, I've read some stories now, apparently it was Patrick Peterson, as they walked into the locker room, that said, well, we're only down. All we need is 5 touchdowns. And Cousins said, I looked at him to see if he was serious or if he was being sarcastic. And he looked in his eyes and said, well, he was being serious. He said, we won't give up another touchdown. Just go out and score. And apparently that was part of the inspiration. It sounds like they made some serious halftime adjustments. I will say, this is not the first time that they've come up flat and had to pull off this comeback before. They need to figure out what the secret sauce is in these comebacks and come out with that, because they have yet to be able to jump out to a big lead and hold it. And they're going to need that in the coming weeks against the Giants. They're going to need that against Green Bay and Chicago, who are going to look at that game as their Super Bowl for the season. And they're going to need that for the playoffs. So they've got to figure some things out here if they want to seriously be a contender.
Well, you're absolutely right. And, the big thing is finishing with the second seed. I guess the importance of that is you pretty much assure yourself of 2 home games, and which is good, certainly. But, I've been saying this for a while. You don't necessarily want to be the 2 seed. Yes, it's great if you get it, because that 7 seed who you would play, that team's always a team that's come roaring into the playoffs on a bit of a streak. So those are the tough teams that you could wind up facing. So we'll see. They're going to get past the Giants, who finally showed some life in their game last night against the Washington. My son's watching the game. Hey, are that the Redskins? It's one of those things where it's been so many years, you almost have to stop yourself before you say Commanders.
I just call them the Commies.
You call them the Commies. That's probably a good way to do it. Yeah. Well, that works. It works. Certainly it works for me. Now, I want to ask you about Donald Trump has some trading cards. Sold them out. What do you have? Sold out 4,000. He made over $1 million on it, or how many millions did he make?
It was more than $1 million. I know that.
Well, you know who didn't make any money though is the guy who had the Aaron Judge ball, the 62nd home run. Apparently after he caught it, he was offered $3 million. Nope, I'm putting it up for auction. He made 1.5. He gave away 1.5 million and all he did was catch the ball.
Right.
Good for him. But I think it's funny that he left 1.5 mil on the table.
Back to the Trump thing, Bob, it's great that he needed all this money, but it brings in the question. I read a lot of commentary on last week. Does he seriously want to, run for president again or be president again? This seems like he's just trying to, he's like in the money booth trying to grab as much cash as he can before the time is up.
Well, I think if he put it this way, unless he's in an absolute dream world, which he could be, the time is up. 61% of Republicans don't want him to run. They like his policies. They just don't like him. So, it'll be interesting to see as all this unfolds. Jeff, as always, greatly appreciated.